We are unprofitable servants. We have done what we were obliged to do. These servants are remarkably humble, frankly. Remarkably sort of have a sense of, not particular sense of being entitled. They see themselves pretty much for who they are, and they're content with that. Today we want to continue this series we've been in reflecting on Christian stewardship. And these servants really give us a great model for that, because that ability to say, we are unprofitable servants, we have done what we were obliged to do, is a very critical step in really being disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because how did the Lord Jesus Christ describe himself? But by saying, I have come to serve, not to be served. And so this sense, a lot of our joy and contentment in life has to do with the kind of expectations we have, or maybe even better, lack of expectations that we have, or making sure that they're realistic expectations. I heard one time somebody say, there's a wise little saying, an expectation is a resentment waiting to happen, right? And so sometimes we do, when we do maybe feel some sort of sense of resentment or dissatisfaction or one of those big pity parties sometimes that we love to throw or something like that, if we stop and look at it, very often we'll see there's a prideful expectation that's behind all of that. Something that we really don't have much reason to expect at all. And yet, if we come into a situation with an expectation like these servants today, well, I expected to serve, and I was not disappointed. Then we won't be disappointed. I can tell you that. Nobody is ever going to rob you of your opportunity to serve. You know, that's if you come to people and say, how could I serve you? People are going to say, oh, get out of here. You know, that's not going to happen. People are going to say, really? Really? And so this is a beautiful example of what it means to be a Christian steward and a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, following the one who came to serve rather than to be served. It also helps us to find, conversely, great contentment and therefore an ability to make that gift of self that we were talking about last week, to overcome being absorbed with ourselves. That's kind of what pity parties do, right? And rather, to out of this sense of well-being and contentment, to make a gift of ourselves. There's a nice fancy word I like for this. It's one of the virtues, actually. It's the virtue of magnanimity. And or being magnanimous. And that literally means greatness of heart or greatness of spirit, greatness of soul, being a great-souled person. And out of that sense of abundance, then we have this sense where we are able to, you know, to give and not to count the cost, to labor and not to look for rest, to quote from St. Ignatius of Loyola. And have this spirit of magnanimity. There's a story, sort of an example of this I like, from an old movie, some of you may have seen it, called Boys Town. It's about the founding of that orphanage in out in Nebraska by Father Flanagan a long, long time ago. And they had there was a movie made of it about this founding. This young man comes one time, and he's carrying this little boy on his shoulders, and he comes up to Father Flanagan, and Father says, oh, he must be very heavy. And the older boy says, he ain't heavy, Father. He's my brother. Well, you know, the fact of his being his brother doesn't actually have anything to do with whether he's heavy or not. He's just as heavy whether he's his brother or not, right? But there is that. But because it was his brother, do you see there was love involved in that? There was magnanimity. There was a greatness of spirit. And so even though carrying around his little brother probably was pretty heavy, he didn't care. He had this desire to give, this desire to make a gift of himself for the good of his little brother. And so we're called upon to live in that way as Christians. And again, the best way to do that is to start with what we've been given rather than what we're giving. Because the balance sheet is really way on our favor, to tell you the truth, in that. And I may have shared this story with you already, but it's one I really, really love. One time before, in a previous assignment, I was the pastor of St. Mary's in downtown Nashville, which is the oldest church in the city of Nashville, and is the oldest, of course, Catholic church as well. And it's right smack in the middle of downtown. It's sort of diagonally across the street from the state capitol. It's on Fifth Avenue in Charlotte. Two or three blocks down Fifth Avenue from there, there's one of the few places downtown where you can buy anything sort of practical or useful. There are all kinds of useless places downtown, you know, like a touristy kind of places, but very few. There's a Walgreens just down the street where if you need to get something, you know, if you need to get stuff, you can go get stuff at Walgreens. And it's actually in the arcade, which is a neat old place, sort of an 1880s version of a mall. You should go see it sometime. It's really neat. It's between 4th and 5th Avenues downtown. But so there's this Walgreens. It's been there forever. And in that Walgreens, there's a lovely lady who works there. And anytime I would go in there and encounter her, my day would be changed. And many, many people, I'm sure people all over downtown, would come there just to encounter this lady. Because every time you would see her, I would say, well, how are you doing? Her name was Marie. Marie, how are you doing? She'd say, I'm blessed and highly favored. And her sense of being blessed and highly favored, blessed me. And made me feel highly favored just by encountering her with that sense of magnanimity, of greatness of spirit. She wasn't somebody who felt really entitled. She was there to serve. And she was like, well, how can I help you? She was just tickled to death to wait on you. Here she'd been working probably for years and years at Walgreens downtown. And that was always a wonderful experience. I told the manager there one time, I said, you are really lucky to have, I'm sure there are people who come in this store just because Maria is here. And you know, it gives us a model of the Christian life. Because there's another person with the same name, actually, whom the angel Gabriel said, Hail Mary, full of grace. But Lord, more literally, that could be translated, highly favored one. And then we usually go on to pray, blessed are you among women. Blessed and highly favored. And she, that Marie, that Mary, of course, is the model of all Christian discipleship. She shows us how you do it. You know, on my this wonderful pilgrimage I had this summer, we got to visit Nazareth, which is where, of course, you know, the Blessed Mother lived and where Jesus was brought up. Wonderful place. I don't know. I think the Blessed Mother's influence is still very much in that town. It's very interesting to think about what it must have been like to live there when she was there. And just to do the ordinary things of life, encountering her as you went about your ordinary daily life, and how she did it with this sense of being blessed and highly favored, this sense of magnanimity, of greatness of spirit. You know, she says, my soul magnifies the Lord in her Magnificat. And she, interestingly, who is by right the queen of heaven and earth, in that beautiful prayer of the Magnificat, how does she describe herself? I am the handmaid of the Lord. I am an unprofitable servant. I've only done what you asked me to do. And I think that can be our key when we see, first of all, accept those words and know how blessed and highly favored you are. We all are. Most especially to be children of God. Because that's who we are and that can never be taken away from us. And then from that sense of well-being, then we can be magnanimous towards others. We can say, He ain't heavy fada, he's my brother. I'm happy to serve. I'm happy to make a gift of myself. And then as we consider how we might want to do so within the life of our parish, as we've been thinking about in this process of Christian stewardship, the way I share my time with God, the way I share my talents, the way I share my treasure with Him, it becomes not so much of a burden, but an adventure.